bag, it's Michael.
I love you.
I know.
I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chump some of this shit.
What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What the hell is this?
This is for Brody.
What?
Please, God!
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass!
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
So we're live.
Live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a tiny podcast and it's hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am the other host, Paul. Hopefully you can hear me and see me and all things light and beautiful. I know we have been having a few technical issues over the last few days, especially with a lot of the, the equipment. So if there's any audio problems, let us know in the chat, please. But tonight is a special night. We do have two beautiful guests joining us this evening. We've got the darling of the Nerdy Up North Discord, the Queen Mother herself, the one who gives birth to all the kids. We've got the lovely Sarah, and we will be having none of this bullshit that Sarah is the longest episoder now. That is truly down to Lee, because we can't shut the hobo up. And we are joined by the boobalicious, the most beautiful lady in this world. Delicious. One of my favorite people who I often offend, not even on purpose. The beautiful, the vibracious, the lovely Emma.
Yeah, you get away with a lot of things, Paul Watson.
I could try and get away with more, Emma. If you weren't a married woman, I'll just say that. But that's yes. And I haven't said this for a while. And hello to all the mothers out there. And happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
The day that Jake was born or risen, whichever is the law these days in the Nerdy Up North craft. Just a few little announcements we'll get out the way as well. Facebook are a bell end, full stop. They're causing me so much aggro. So if you haven't followed the new Nerdy Up North backup page, just in case, please do. It will give me less heart palpitations. Also as well, just like, not going to start the podcast on the sad note, but I do want to make reference because I did get some sad news today and it has hit me harder than I was expecting. One of my close friends from, well, say close, like we were close, but as with life, you do move on and people like come and live out your lives, but you always kind of like have them people with you. She passed away over the weekend and yeah, it's a little bit tough, a little bit thing, but I don't want to dwell on it. I want to celebrate her more than anything because she would have liked that. She is one of the most partiest, craziest and badass women I ever met. She is the only woman that terrified me when I was in the borough. On one of my birthdays, she threatened me with a battery, said, "You will lick this battery or I will punch you." And I've never been so scared in my life. Like I said, I just want to say, I really do going to miss you, Susan. So thank you for being a part of my life.
She was a character.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's out the way. So Sammy, do you want to take it away?
What are we doing? Are we going straight into this? Well, or are we?
Emma's never experienced it.
Oh my God, has she not?
No.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm being set up for failure here.
Yes.
Maybe. Do you think I would do that to you?
Yes. That would be interesting.
I just got something to ask you, and it's so so hard, and I just want to know how he's doing and what he's been watching.
Right.
Now there you go.
Did you crawl inside yourself a little bit there, Emma, as well?
Every time I see it, absolutely, I die a little bit inside. No, what you've been watching, Emma? What you've been watching this week?
So we just, like me and my husband, just finished The Gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Which was absolutely outstanding. It was brilliant. Absolutely loved every single second of it. It was Guy Ritchie at his best, to be honest. I really can't say anything else other than that.
Brilliant characters, well written. Just fucking, yeah. We binged it, and normally we watch a couple episodes, and the last three episodes of it, it grips you. And we were up in the like me and Nick were up till about half one in the morning, saying we've got to finish it. We can't not go to bed and know the outcome.
I haven't had a series like that in so long.
Oh, it's so good, and it just like I don't know about you, Watson, but I sort of expected the ending, but then didn't expect the ending at the same time. It was, you know, it was a bit up in the air for me, but I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I thought the ending was a little bit more telegraphed because it was a clever show, but it was the only outcome that you could have expected. But yeah,
absolutely.
And to see, I got chills there, because that's the first time in probably about 5 years that someone's actually called us Watson instead of Paul. I'm going back to me teenage years now.
I actually called you Watson on the stream the other day, knowing that Emma was coming on when you were on Twitch.
All right.
And I was like, Watson running? I was like,
I mean, to be fair, that's where you are lying, because I have been on the podcast within the last 5 years, and I'm pretty sure every single time I'm on, I call you Watson.
Possibly, but like say, they've done that many podcasts, my brain's just a mush with everything that we do.
It really took you back there. I was like, oh.
I was like, Watson, get fucking out.
Do you want me to be a grown up and call you Paul?
No, I never want you to be a grown up, Emma. You've always been a little Emma.
Sounds a bit weird.
It's all right. Oh, yes, we were 16 when we first met. It's good.
We'll not tell any stories yet.
No.
So, yes. So, Sarah, what have you been watching? Job.
Oh, well, I get stuck behind with babies on my knee quite a lot of the day now. So, I've had massive watching going on the last few weeks. I've watched all of Picard, I've watched Prodigy, I've watched American Gods.
All right.
Sarah, you've been on one, haven't you?
I've probably been on one. I've also started watching the original Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack from the early 90s.
Yes.
I just love them. I love the current one that's on Netflix, so I've been watching the old stuff.
Yeah. The old stuff for Robert. I fucking love Robert Stack, man. His fan club follows me on Twitter.
Stop name dropping. Every time she name drops, I'm going to do it.
I mean, he is very much dead. Got it in there, because on this movie I can't do that.
Oh.
Did you notice though on the original ones a lot of amnesia in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah,
a lot. A very strange thing to, like, everyone had amnesia.
It was because of the copious amount of drugs that was available in the 80s.
I don't remember buying this box with a skeleton in it. Bought it in Wisconsin. Maybe it was Ohio.
I just don't know. I do love that. Me and Anth go back and watch them sometimes. There's, like, Bradley Cooper's an actor in there in one of them. Not Ryan Reynolds. The Dawson. He's been in one. So you can find all these movie stars who started in
amazing.
Just a quick question, because you mentioned a show that I kind of love but hated at the same time. How did you find American Gods? Not just because you fancied Gillian Anderson, but
she was only in the first season, but I still watched the last two.
Yes.
did you enjoy it?
I kind of got to the point of I thought I was watching it just to try and get to the end of it. I wanted to know what happened.
Yes.
Especially season three.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I think if it started with the story of season three, I wouldn't have continued.
No, because that was because after season one, Brian Fuller left, and it kind of went a bit haywire. Very recommend to read the book American Gods. I know I say it every time we've done a review on it as well. Many moons ago. Yes,
over there, right over there.
podcast issue one, but yes, it's a very good book. It's like breathtaking, the stories, the characters, especially if you like anything mythology. It's so interesting. The first season got it kind of right, but then Divulgent thought, oh, these characters are more interesting, give them more story time than got in the book. Like the leprechaun, he died pretty quick in the book. Spoilers.
Yeah, I was enjoying his character.
Yes.
This makes us want to go, the leprechaun!
The leprechaun!
Yes. I'm a little leprechaun!
Yes. What about you, Sammy? What have you been watching? Other than the leprechaun. We are doing Wayne's World soon as well, so don't worry.
What have I been watching this week? Other than porn and your dodgy wrist. What did we do for monsters this week? George Romero. I've been watching
That is tomorrow,
but I recorded on Thursday. But I've been watching a lot of George Romero documentaries. Invincible is back. Every Friday. It is fucking immense. The series is just so good. And we are almost finished The Last Airbender. I fucking love that so much. Makes us just want to go and jump straight back into the cartoon as soon as we like finish an episode. And I'm like, there's a reason you're turning it off, Sam. You're tired. You need to go to sleep.
I still need to watch the live action, like.
Oh, it's so good. So faithful. And oh, Zuko, I just love him so much. I just want to give that guy just a big cuddle. He just needs a big cuddle. It's really good, Sarah. I kind of recommend it. Especially if you're like familiar with the cartoon, you'll get so many vibes from it. Be like, look at that, and look at this. And they go into a little bit more detail as well, especially on Aang's hometown. And oh, I really, really am enjoying it.
Cool. I've not been watching that much. Like I say, the gentleman that me and Emma touched on as well, I'll not go over that too much. Sorry to say, guys, Moonsigners hasn't started up again, so I've got no more Moonsigner goss for you.
Sick, man.
God damn them hillbillies.
You for getting me interested.
It's an interesting show. The premise is flawless. What can I say? People making it illegal whiskey, then recording it and showing America that they won't get arrested. it's all going to end well. But yeah, I have been on a Dexter kick again. So we are up to season six now with Dexter. So that's the thing. But no, other than that, we watched Ghostbusters. And again, go back and watch our thoughts on Ghostbusters. That's where you go. Even though I enjoyed it, I am a bit sad because I felt like I slagged it off a lot on that podcast. So
I don't think you did. You just give an initial reaction, and then you know as well as anyone how much reactions change the amount of times that you watch something. It was just initial reaction. I just want to say hello to my podcasting partner. Nice of you to join us.
All right. Hi, Dan. In the chat. Scotch, yeah. Well, my Scotch, maybe.
I know you're there. See ya. She says, "Damn the man, save the empire."
Damn the man. Oh, Dan's T-shirt, Dan.
She was showing off her T-shirt. She wasn't flashing everyone. Sorry. We can calm down.
They didn't hear the conversation beforehand, Sarah.
That's fine. Do your lovely disclaimer, then, Sammy.
Yes. Well. Everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook page, the Discord, or the comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong. We can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of her nerdism.
Yes. And just to get a cheap plug in as well, if you want to buy a T-shirt like Sarah's got, and you can go to Bleeding Marvelous's website or Facebook page. She has a lot of good array of T-shirts, nerdy T-shirts on offer. So buy a T-shirt from Dan. That's an endorsement from Paul.
I love that. Did you give a thumbs up at the end? I didn't see that.
I did, yes.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
I would buy a load of them at the holiday with
us. Very comfortable.
Yes, very comfortable.
She says yes, Sarah, so she sees it. Right, before we get into Empire Records, you know what I like to do before we get into the discussion of it? The taglines.
Yes.
The setup.
She's getting quite aggressive in these later episodes now, Sammy. Is like, I want it this way. It's good. I want it Sam's way.
Yeah. From day one, it has been my way. Have you not figured that one out yet?
No, it only took us 3 years to think, fuck, I've got no control of this at all.
She's so bossy.
Yes. Maybe that's me kink now, getting bossed by Sammy. It's waved on from Sammy's mom to Sammy now. It's like Stockholm syndrome. It's like it's finally kicked in.
Carol.
Oh, Dawn, she hears her name, she comes a call, and let's just leave her be. She's right. Like, I'll have a comb,
don't worry, it's fine.
Taglines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you guess what the main one was?
Damn the man!
Damn the man, save the empire. Second one, Open till midnight.
Open till midnight, yes.
Yeah. Are you ready? They're selling music, but they're not selling out.
The only ones that didn't sell out in the 90s, just saying.
Yeah. The music is the glue of the world. It holds it all together.
Right.
Okay. And the last one, which I think actually is my favourite. What's with today? Mm-hmm. Today.
Today.
Yay!
Today.
They are the taglines. I think they are fucking fantastic. Especially they're selling music, but not selling out.
Oh, this movie, like, let's be honest, it can't be any more 90s. This is basically everything.
So
90s. It's the 90s movie.
Like, fuck Jurassic Park, fuck Forrest Gump, anything that came out in the 90s.
Generation.
Yes.
It's so 90s. It's such a 90s soundtrack. It's just, it's fantastic. The soundtrack is fucking great.
Yeah. Mm.
It is one of the best soundtracks out there. I'll give it that, the due it deserves. Always the thing that does surprise me about this as well, it's quite an inclusive movie as well. Like, it doesn't just... Like, if you think about music, it'll be like, all these like prima donnas. It's not like, shall we say, a high fidelity style where it's like the same characters talking about the same type of genre of music and having the same taste. They've got people who love rock. They've got people who love soul. They've got people who love a bit of everything, teeny bop.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to see. And everyone kind of had these type of friend groups as well, because I know, like, again, this is going to sound like quite a weird comparison. This is very much quite similar long lines to The Breakfast Club. This is the 90s version of The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm. Except that does make sense,
Except from none of these fuckers were in detention, because none of these fuckers would turn up. Except from Liv Tyler, possibly, because, like, see, she was a bit goody-two-shoes. And just to get this away, so everyone feels better, she was 17 in this movie, so he's allowed to think that. It's okay.
She was old enough, people.
Yes, Lee, it's okay. You're not going to be put in the bin.
There would have been trouble on the set anyway, because if anyone acted themselves up, Coyote Shiver was her stepdad.
Yes. So, which is really awkward.
It's really fucking weird.
It's so awkward.
But yes. So Sammy's touched on it. Probably the greatest soundtrack beyond two other films, I would say, is better. The only other two soundtracks I would say is better than this. And again, I'll go on there. Lost Boys. And Watchmen.
I'd argue The Crow as well.
The Crow is just The Cure on repeat, so I can't really give the Crow too much.
What's your problem with The Cure?
It's just one song looped, isn't it, really, though? But yeah.
One thing about the soundtrack, though, I don't think there's enough of the actual music used in the movie on the official soundtrack.
I
was very sad in my youth, and I actually counted. I went through the credits and I counted how many songs were used, and it was about 45, if I remember rightly.
Yeah,
there's only 12 or 13 songs.
Yeah, I agree.
On the actual CD.
I was the same, obviously, you know, when it was all CDs and stuff like that. And obviously now you can get it on Spotify. You can get all these different playlists.
Yeah.
Obviously people have made with all of the songs on, as opposed to the actual official soundtrack one, which is slightly better.
Wasn't there like an alternative one that came out like not too long ago, or a few years, like maybe like a 10-year anniversary? I know there was a recut with more Rex Manning in the movie. Version
with
stuff
the most disgusting scene ever with Rex Manning in. Yes, that came out on an anniversary one. Apparently there is, like, somewhere on a cutting room floor loads and loads of footage of Warren and sister.
Oh, really?
Right.
Well, Warren, who only until today I realized what he said his name was. Warren Beatty.
Yep. Oh, come on.
Never fucking heard the Beatty part. I only ever heard the Warren part, and I went, his name's actually not Warren. That's why when he's screaming, my name's not Warren.
Yeah.
There's Lord on the cutting room floor of him and his sister.
Right.
Well, it's like, interestingly, on the cutting room floor, there's also obviously cut reels and cut parts from Tobey Maguire being in it.
Yes.
Andre.
And he obviously, he asked to be cut out of it because he was struggling with an alcohol addiction at the time and checked himself into rehab.
All right. Did not know that.
It's weird if you go and look on, if you go and Google Empire Records and look at the cast list, he's there.
Yeah. The cast still actually in the credits of my version as well.
Probably still gets paid, so.
You'll be getting residuals for that. It's fine. Yeah. It's good. Toby did good.
So can you remember your first time in watching this movie? I know we're going back. Because we're not that old, really, are we? But yes.
I mean, I'm only 25, so, you know, it was only last year.
If you're 25, then so am I.
To be fair, your bra's probably so old 25, but that's about it. But yeah.
Rude.
But yes, I can remember, because I think I saw it on DVD. I think it was around the time I watched Mallrats. So I think I watched Mallrats first, then I watched this, because I'm sure there was an advertisement, because you know when like videos and DVDs used to have like movie trailers before you watch watch the film, and there was a trailer on the video for Mallrats, and then there was a trailer for Empire Records on the same one. Can't remember the film, but I just went, Mallrats looks interesting, and I was like, oh, this looks class, like Empire Records. Why have I not heard anything? Did it get a cinema run? Or did it go straight to DVD or straight to VHS?
It bombed at the cinema,
right? Yeah.
It absolutely bombed at the cinema, apparently, when it was released. Mm-hmm. And then kind of, it was one of those films that kind of rose up to be a bit of a, you know, a bit of a legendary nerd culture film.
It was, I can see why, though. It was like very much of its generation, of its time. Yeah. Like, especially, let's just take a moment and talk about the clothing in this movie.
Lack of skirts. I mean, as a 40-year-old, I'm sorry, but those skirts.
Yeah. But that's not what you were saying when you were in your early 20s.
As a 17-year-old, I was fully wanting to wear those skirts.
Yeah.
I think they definitely had the legs. Like, Renee Zellweger and Liv Tyler's legs in this movie kind of sold it on themselves.
Miles and miles.
Yeah. Renee Zellweger in this movie is just fucking unreal, but we'll get into that in a bit. I remember watching this with a group of friends I had before my college group of friends.
You had friends before us? Jinx.
You know I did. I know, it was really rude of us, wasn't it? I mean, you won in the end. You're stuck with us.
Saving yourself for us.
You're stuck with us. So
damn it.
It was around the time of like the Mallrats time, and this kind of like came alongside it. It's like Mallrats and this comes like hand in hand for some reason. Yeah. And it just became everything. Like, it's one of those movies where it had.
I was going to say, if you watch Mallrats and this back to back, you could think it was like a Mallrats sequel in a way, just with different characters.
Yeah, just in a different different part of the mall is this like record shop. It's just outside of it or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just became everything. And this was the movie of like my life. Like, and then eventually seeped over into the friends that I did make at college, and they were just as enthusiastic about this movie as I was.
To be fair, though, your friends you made at college were all backward and dicks, to be fair, so that's fine.
There is two of them sitting right here.
What I was about to say is, I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think when watching the film, there is not one single character within that film that you, apart from maybe Rex Manning, that you don't really like resonate with. Is that there are little bits of all their personalities that you can kind of resonate with.
Yeah.
For me, there is, anyway.
It definitely felt like a lot like my friends group back at the time. And even though I'm bad mouthers and shit like that, like, we all had moments like as the film goes through, because a lot of hormones, a lot of emotional tangents go through this movie. Yeah. We pretty much done the same. Like, the amount of times like we fell out, argued, kissed and made up. Some of us kissed literally and made
and that
up.
That was just me and Watson.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we've never fallen out. In how many years? We have never fallen out. It was everyone else around us.
Everybody crumbling around.
Everyone else around us, and me and her, like, nah.
It's because everyone had hormones, and we didn't know where to put our hormones. That was the problem.
Making you as sisters, Sam.
Yeah, that's true.
What about you, Sarah? What was your first experience with the Empire?
I think I must have seen it about a year or two after its release. You know, I was, at the time, I was going to like gigs twice a week at either of the Newcastle universities, you know, back when the gigs were only like a fiver and yeah. didn't care who I was going to see. I just
used
to
those days. See them.
You know, I was buying Melody Maker and NME every week, and music was just a huge part of my life, and it was just inevitable that I crossed paths with this movie, really.
I
still watch it twice a year at least.
Oh yeah, it's my go-to. It's one of my go-tos.
It's one of those movies that reminds me of like good times with me with my group of friends.
Yeah,
like, you know, there was a group of four of us mainly, and whenever we used to stay at each other's houses, we would always watch Empire Records.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this would have worked better? Because I know you said it flopped big style when it first came out at the cinema. Do you think this would have worked better as a TV show?
No, I don't think so.
Just the amount of characters that we had.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's not then, but it might now.
Right.
I just wanted to understand the relationship between Luca and Joe. That was one kind of dynamic, because they hint on the...
It is hinted like on, father, yeah.
Like it's like a father and son relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know a little bit more detail. Deb was an intriguing character.
Yes.
But
she went through all the emotions, didn't she, bless her?
She went through fucking everything. She had a funeral and all sorts.
Yeah.
But I don't know, there was enough with Liv Tyler to understand her.
Yeah.
Renée Zellweger, she really was. She was a stressed out teenager who was obviously having far too much pressure put on her.
Yeah.
Nothing that we hadn't seen in Saved by the Bell with Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to get that reference in there. It reminds me so much. That scene reminds me so much of Jesse in Saved by the Bell.
You know what was quite interesting though with like the characters. I know we talked about the characters now. The male characters were a little bit boring, other than Lucas. Like Mark was just the typical off the wall.
Mark is everything.
Yeah.
Mark was the typical bouncing off the wall, that comedy element that you have to have in this time.
Four or five people we went to college with who remind me of the character of Mark.
Yeah.
I also think that Eddie is MVP.
Eddie is
I love Eddie.
Eddie's the most valuable player in this movie.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, explain.
Eddie's there exactly when you need him.
Yeah,
he is. Hang on, I've done a couple of notes on this one.
Sit back, people.
He arrives exactly when you need him to break the tension of what's currently happening.
Right.
You know, he shows up with pizza to break the tension of what's happening in the staff room after everybody finds out Lucas took the money.
It turns up after they find out she's... Renée Zellweger was banging Rex Mann. Yeah, that was that was the pizza bit, wasn't it?
He's not creepy. He's kind of got this naivety about him. Like when he's sitting at the table outside with Corey, and she just takes the bra off and bonks it on the table. He's not fussed about it. I know some blokes that would have kind of put that bra on their face and sniffed it.
I mean,
I'm looking at you, Lee. I'm looking at you down this camera. You would have sniffed that bra, you filthy animal.
You know, it provides the perfect getaway for Mark with the brownies. He just seems genuinely nice and chill, and like, you know, the perfect role in the store as well, like the vinyl section.
Mm-hmm.
He genuinely cares about how this person will treat the vinyl. He cares that much about it. Mm. You know,
he's lovely. He's just so sweet.
Yeah.
He is a good guy. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. I thought AJ was boring. Let's be honest.
Wet blanket. Oh my god.
AJ was
the heartthrob.
It was not the heartthrob.
It was, you know, your good old 90s heartthrob with the, you know, the curtains and
the grungy look.
Yeah.
I always hated AJ for him burning Mark's CD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was an unnecessary mean thing to do.
Yes. But,
Mark.
But yeah.
Exactly. Poor Mark.
Poor Mark. But
Mark with a K, remember.
Seeing Mark go on, hopped up on brownies was just like, Again, when I watch it now, it's funny, but I remember watching it the first time thinking that's actually quite scary when
terrifying.
I had a friend who was into Gwar at the time as well, so I found it hilarious.
I just love the fact they use Gwar. Of all the bands that use Gwar, I think Mark is just the best. He has some of the greatest lines to quote. Like, if you are quoting from this movie, the likelihood is
it's always going to be a Mark.
It's going to be a Mark quote.
I love the bit where he just kind of like, you know how you answer the phone, Empire Records open till midnight, and he just goes, midnight.
That's one of my go-to quotes, is that one. I love that.
And help me, oh God.
It's funny, he's going, I'm gonna start a band of, and what are you gonna call it? Mark.
But I was thinking of Mark, but with a C.
C, not with a K, just to be all trippy and psychedelic.
And of course, no. And of course, Mark saves the day. He has the idea to go on the news.
He does. Mark saves the Empire. See, without Mark, you don't have the Empire saved. Oh, he's such a great character.
Certainly. I'll take back my comment of saying all the men were boring. Just probably AJ and the other guy, I can't remember his name.
He was there for the heartthrob, wasn't he? He was, you know, 90s heartthrob, good-looking guy.
What was that, Sarah?
Opinion.
Burkle.
That's the one I can't remember his name.
Coyote Shivers.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler's dad.
Yeah. It was, again, just two people that looked exactly the same, just being in for looks, really, but they didn't bring anything different or new.
I mean, he was there for basically the music. He was there for that, you know, epic song at the end, wasn't he?
Yeah, because that's his song, isn't it? Uh-huh. He's a very problematic person in real life.
Really problematic.
To go a bit deeper with his now as well. So, because we'll go into about the characters
so soon.
We'll always go deep. Always go deep. Quick as easy. That's always
best. Go straight in there.
Straight in there. No foreplay.
We'll be gonna lube up.
Going in dry.
Oh my God, you're just as bad as him.
I'm sorry.
This is why me and Emma can't be around each other too much. That's the thing.
This is why I'm never going to be a guest ever again on the podcast. I'm going to get you all shut down.
Not just yet. We've had Graham on. You're safe. It's fine.
I know. If YouTube will let us have Graham on, it's good.
Ah, well, I'm good. I'm safe.
So, characters, like, let's talk about 90s Sam, 90s Emma, 90s Sarah.
Oh, God.
Which character do you relate to back then? And then afterwards, we'll see which character you relate to now.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay. I like that.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm going to throw Sammy under the water with it because she looked like she was panicking a little bit.
No. 90s Sam would be fucking dead because she's just. Look, you're agreeing.
100%.
All the emotions and just being a dick to everyone.
That is totally and utterly me. If anyone's going to go and fucking shave their hair off, it's going to be me. And 40 Sam is also Deb because there's no fucking difference. It doesn't change. Like, I am still an emotional wreck. I still would shave my hair off at a drop of a hat just because it fucking annoyed us. There's no difference between 90s Sam and 40s
Sam. So if we get to 2,000 subscribers, you'll shave your head?
No.
Damn you.
No. What about for charity?
Yes.
Don't say things like that because I'm just about to say it. To be fair,
she got her feet out last time for charity, so I think the head shaving might be. You made 20 quid for your foot pictures as well, so well done there.
I've been offered a lot more on Instagram for them, so.
OnlyFans.
I've got really nice tattooed feet.
What about you, Sarah? What would you say for 90 Sarah?
For 90 Sarah, I'll probably go with Sam's choice of Deb.
Right. So he's all bleak and dark and depressing and stuff.
I want to be the bleak, dark girl that people kind of went.
Oh, I can't imagine you like that at all.
Yeah. I used to hang around with all the goths, man.
I can't imagine you giving out badges mocking people.
all the charvers just used to call me the freak of the corner.
Right.
Oh.
Bless you.
Dickheads.
So what about now, Sarah?
I think now Sarah's more going with Joe.
Right. All right. So you're the one that's fighting the man.
I stand back and I go, "What the fuck is going on around me?" I wish I could play the drums like Anthony LaPaglia, because I would do that so much more to get my stress out.
Scene is amazing as well with ACDC.
Yes.
Oh.
And get his dance moves.
Yeah. And it was actually him playing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can tell that's one thing, because you know when someone's not really like just hitting things and nothing, but you could tell, like, just I know they could do a clever edit and stuff, but I don't think they had
We're talking 90s, so there's not really that much clever editing you can do in the 90s.
We'll not get into the Kevin Smith style of editing yet, but I'm going to be brutally honest and probably say back then I was probably more Gina. I was probably the running Zegwer character, trying to please everyone and just being like passive aggressive when
being pushed. A slut.
And being a slut, I was a whore. Yes, I will. Like, say, I like to dip my pen in any ink that was there.
Yes, you did.
I'm so glad you put it that way and not another way.
But yes, probably Gina, but probably now Lucas. I can probably see, because I love his style and I love that he's like kind of always got that positivity, and that's what I hope I am now. But that's probably what. Sorry, no, I'll change my answer a little bit. I'll be a bit of a dick there. I'll probably say I want to be more Lucas. I'm probably a bit more Mark.
Because just a bit of both,
A bit chaotic energy.
Fucking absolute manic to then being like, all of a sudden you can switch it on and just go, right, and chill.
Yes,
and I don't know how the fuck you do it, but you do.
And the plan comes together. The plan always works out in the end.
And he just goes up to random girls and kiss their feet.
No,
do you know who that was?
Yes. We've been looking at the same fact pages.
Yeah. It was Michael Caulfield's
daughter, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
Maxwell Caulfield.
Maxwell, that's his name.
Yeah.
I don't think I've went up to random... I've done lots of random stuff, but I've never went up and kissed a woman's feet. Nerdfest tomorrow could be the first. You should come and see us.
Don't be scaring the people off.
I want the people to be scared. Always be scared. That's fine.
I think for me, I'd have to go with the same fit as you, Paul. In the 90s, I was very, very much the Renée Zellweger character.
Temperament than anything else. You had very much that temperament. You would blow up very easy.
Absolutely. I'll openly admit it. 100%. Absolutely. Would lose my temper in a heartbeat. And it was also the insecurities. You know, way back in the 90s, I was a teenager, early 20s, you know, and it was the insecurities of then leading to, as you so nicely put it, dipping my pen in any ink I could. Using my ink for any pen that I could, kind of thing.
You weren't that bad.
And it was like an intimate, well, that was, you know, before uni was. There was a lot of insecurities around, you know, this false confidence of, you know, leading guys on. And, you know, like she does with Rex Manning, you know, she does it because she can and she gets that confidence. And there's a small part of me when I'm watching it thinking it's because of her insecurities.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a false confidence that she builds up to do it. Me now, I unfortunately grew up to be very neurotic, so I'm probably more Liv Tyler's character now.
And just put this out there, Emma is not a speed addict. She does not take the speed pills.
No.
I do drugs. Those are for mugs.
Just say no.
Just say no, guys. Okay.
Just a pen, okay?
Okay.
Just in a good... Oh, getting all the references out now as well. For a movie that is, like, again, can be put in one word, cliche, that is probably the best way to describe Empire Records. Every cliche that is basically being wrote or talked about in the 90s is probably in this movie. But
100%.
It is one with some actual real depth as well, because it goes through topics or conversations that weren't like very taboo of the time. Like, say, a taboo now, we talk about suicide, and they're going quite detailed about like life and death and feeling that relationships as well, like having a young lady like Liv Tyler's age still being a virgin and talking about like losing it for the first time as well is quite an interesting topic, especially in the surrounding. And slut shaming as well. Again, slut shaming has been going around for many years, and it still was prevalent in this movie, and it's still prevalent today's market, which is quite sad, because as we say, a man could go around, sleep around, and be hailed as, like, say, oh, he's God's gift,
he's
or
a
he's a hero for doing things that if a woman did would be like getting a scarlet letter, be called a harlot and stuff like that. Where again, sex positivity is not a bad thing. If like it should be broadcast, and again, not
we fucking celebrate it.
Yeah,
that, absolutely.
And I think this movie does it on the line where it's not too condescending as well at times. But again, it does flitter quite close in my view. But again, that's just probably like a male view rather than like a female view as well. I don't know how you guys felt with that.
I love the scene when it all blows up, but I also love the scene afterwards where all she can think about, she in that argument, she threw out all about her promiscuous ways. Mm-hmm. But when she's thinking back on her in a loving way, that's not where she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks about all of the good parts about her is that she's brave.
Mm-hmm.
In every aspect of her life, that she's a brave person. So I adore that scene there. Liv Tyler really does do my head in this movie sometimes.
It's the pout.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, it's just, it's when she screams in Joe's face as well.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, Jesus.
Well, it's such as neurotic.
Yeah, there's a scene that is quite, I would use the words uncomfortable. It is like the Liv Tyler and Rex Manning scene.
Rex Manning.
Where
she's blue cheese.
When she's got him
That's the extended one, man. Ew!
When she kind of strips off into her underwear and he just goes, just takes a deep breath and just undoes his trousers. And that kind of freaks her out a bit as well. I never
like blue cheese.
It's because of what he says in the extended one, and he gets the bottle of blue cheese on the table, shakes it and goes, I hope you like blue cheese, and that's why she runs out.
Yeah, because it's gross.
So it's because it's disgusting. But the way that he just opens his trousers in the cut one just makes I think, oh, this is too easy. There's no romance here.
I don't think I've ever seen the cut one, if I'm honest. I think I've only ever seen it.
He just opens
version.
His trousers and just, it's like, presents himself, and she freaks out and runs out. But it's just, in her head, she's built up this romantic scene where he's going to sweep her off her feet, and it's everything that she ever wanted in her first time.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, it's just another conquest for him.
Yeah.
And that's what gets
her. It's where she displays her like naivety, because you know, like you say, young girl, still a virgin, thinks that this rock star is gonna, you know, sweep her up. And we've all had, you know, as younger teenage girls, you know, we've all had that. I'm so in love with Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, and if I ever met him, I would, you know, I would like him to take my virginity, and he's gonna sweep us off. And reality hits her, and that's not what happens.
No.
Yeah. Agent Rockstar's probably had every woman across the world.
Yeah.
He's probably fucking riddled. He's probably absolutely riddled. Dirty bastard.
Definitely.
I mean, he was a cool rider, so.
He was a cool rider.
Oh, God.
Shit,
Philo Moore.
So, right, I just want to. One of the most interesting things I read today about this movie, and this is, I think this is what made us think how much they actually, like fucking cared about it. Rex Manning Day, April 8th, was used because it's the day that Kurt Cobain died.
Right.
And it was the day that music, in their mind, came to an end. A generation died.
Lost
and
its mascot.
And they wanted to honor that day. With Rex Manning Day.
Come on, they could do better things than when...
that's why they used April 8th. And now when I read that, it kind of like made us a bit teary. I was like, oh my god, like that's isn't it cool? I always remember I was when it was announced Kurt Cobain died. Mm-hmm. So now I will always remember that Rex Manning Day remembrance of Kurt Cobain.
Well, Sammy said she wouldn't. Lexi, Sammy will never not get a death reference in a podcast. So
the queen of death right here. The queen of death now.
Just to say in the chat as well earlier, Lee said for the 2000s thing, instead of shaving your hair, why don't you dye your hair green for monsters?
Mm-hmm. I'd do that.
Yep, but I don't know which hair he's talking about.
I have done
there,
it before.
Like...
It's too easy. It needs to be a challenge. For charity, it needs to be a challenge.
Well, the charity, the charity thing's coming later in the year.
Like half of it.
I've literally just getting my hair back after an undercut. I'm not shaving my hair off again.
Okay.
Just saying, Sammy's against having shaven. Just saying, but that's fine. Yeah.
Sammy hates charity. I'm just saying.
Oh my god, that's even worse than what he said. Why is she on again?
You asked her.
You did ask her.
I couldn't do Empire Records in good faith without you here.
I would kill you.
To be fair, though, I could say the emotional blackmail that Sarah put us through.
I basically bullied my way onto this podcast.
See, what if we wouldn't get anywhere, Sarah?
That's
I asked you.
I don't know how he is there. The amount of stuff I do for you.
I do like Sarah's style, though.
Sarah's getting no stickers tomorrow. No shinies for Sarah.
No goodies for Paul.
Sorry.
Are you bringing cake?
Oh, God.
I'm bringing something. It's not cake.
trying to bring it back on track now. So, there's a lot of, let's say, moments in this thing, because the story is quite linear, but there's a lot of different decent, moments. What would you say is your highlight, though, Sarah? Like, what thing do you, look back with either fondly or just, laugh your tits off?
Oh, God. Thing is, I only watched this recently as well.
I've literally just finished it. I didn't know if it was going to end or not, because I had to watch it with fucking adverts.
I hosted it in the Discord for Chris and for Sonia's brother.
Ah, for Joe. Well, I can say, I'll name mine. I absolutely love the interaction when we first meet Warren, and how Lucas goes into full just Terminator mode. How he knows where Warren's every move, where he was going to run to, every trick he was going to try, and it kind of outsmarted him every way. And that's why know that Lucas is kind of the hero of the story all the way through. But
I like how he didn't leave the sofa.
He's always got the cushion. He's always carrying the cushion around. But there's an innocence to Lucas that just can't be matched. He just looks so unfazed all the way through the film until when everyone tries to bail him out. But but the whole scene with him and Warren is just comedy gold.
Mm-hmm,
and having Mark just screaming at the camera, breaking the fourth wall, which he did on a numerous case. He's almost he's shouting to the store, but he's shouting to the audience, shoplifter. And then how no one helps him as well. Everyone's running commentary and stuff like that. When Renee Zegwa's character, Jaina, gets on the microphone and starts going, "Hey, people, Rex Manning fans, if you look to the left, you can see one of our employees, Lucas, chasing down, running down a shoplifter." How they even take the piss out of his music choices as well. Why you stole these CDs as well?
Metal.
Whitney Houston.
Early Whitney Houston was amazing. I do like the intro. I think the only way to describe Luca throughout this whole film is he's as cool as a fucking cucumber.
He
really is. And he's the way he thinks he's speaking philosophy when really he's fucking not.
No.
Half the time he's just quoting lyrics from songs.
Yeah.
Damn the man.
He is the man.
I do like his little I can really save the day if I take this money to Atlantic City. I can save the day.
What gets me?
Letting it ride. Oh my God.
What gets me throughout this whole film? Nobody calls him up on his bullshit.
Yeah.
Not one person sits there and goes, "What the fuck did you do?" He doesn't explain himself. Yeah. I don't think he ever explains himself throughout the whole thing.
He doesn't, no.
Until the very end where he goes, "I thought I knew what I was doing."
Yeah.
And that kind of gives a little bit of a hint. But if he had just said, "Listen, I found the contract. I thought I could get the money. I thought I could do X, Y, and Z," and it all fell through. But he doesn't, and nobody asks him. And then everyone's just being really nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my baby's joining us.
Got to Baba.
We have a sap that needs feeding.
we've got the youngest member on the team now. It's fine.
Hello.
No, he's not the youngest. The girl's the youngest.
All right. But yes, like the whole with Lucas is just hilarious. Like he's all like the beginning start where it all kicks off and you see him going through and you don't really understand what's happening. You see him going through a lightning city and he's like hitting everything. Like he's like the luckiest bastard that's ever walked in that thing. He hits on a northern word, shall we say. I'm going to use a nudgie. He hits a nudgie. Hits jackpot on that. He throws crabs and he's literally hitting everything. Everything's coming out gold for him. And then he makes the one bet too far because
let it ride.
Because to be fair, if he didn't, we wouldn't have a fucking movie. It wouldn't.
It would, the story would have been over right there and then.
It would have been very short.
End
Empire
credits.
Save. End credits. Roll score.
But what I want to know, that's why I mentioned before about the TV show, why I thought it would be quite interesting, because you've hit the nail on the head though, Sammy. I think the interesting stories before is what kind of shit did he get up to where they just didn't give a fuck what he'd been through it. So it's like the kind of accepted or expected him to do some wacky shit like this.
Yeah, because like AJ's like, what did you do? What did you? And he just leaves it at that. He doesn't push it or anything because it's like, oh, well, it's Lucas. Of course he's done something. Nobody calls him up on his bullshit at all. And I wonder if that's something to do with his relationship with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just know what kind of person he is, but we don't. No. I don't know what kind of person he is.
To me, it almost seems like he's kind of trying to get away from his past.
Yeah.
But this is just kind
what
of...
What is his past?
I'm with you on that. What is his past? He's trying to get away from it, but he's definitely fallen off the wagon.
Do you not think that's the genius about the whole film? It doesn't go into that. It leaves you guessing.
How many years later down the line and we're still asking the same fucking question that was probably asked in 1995?
I'm still wondering why that's a good movie. I'm still wondering why the fuck AJ super glued them quarters to the floor. I'm not some little tow rag that's stealing CDs.
Oh, I have never seen this girl get so fucking passionate about a film before. We've had her on for Dexter, for The Crow, and you are on one today, Mrs.
To be fair, though, get her on the next filed episode.
Sammy, you were shocked by the Dexter one.
We were scared.
You came on with a fucking knife, man.
We thought we were going to be dead.
You just came on with a cushion.
Yeah. Cushion and a baba. That's fine. That's Sarah's tagline now. She comes with a cushion and a bag, if she was an action figure. A cushion and a baba.
Oh, yeah. With a knife in the background.
It's retractable Dexter mask. And now we've got fucking Lee dressing up like any character that we fucking have him on now. I don't know what we expect of Lee now. It's terrifying. What were you doing with these people?
What did you do more like? Because every time you see a Lee, you should do something. He could fucking paint himself green and turns himself into a fucking Ninja Turtle. Sorry, baby. I know I shouldn't be swearing in front of you. I apologize.
He can't hear you. It's fine.
I feel very uncomfortable knowing there's a child there and I'm like, Evan and Jeff.
That's fine. Sammy, they're going to be hearing it from other people. They're going to hear it from Sammy. They're going to learn worse.
He's going to learn sooner or later.
That's all right. If Mum says so, then that's fine.
I was going to ask what's your favourite song in this film other than the end song where they're singing it, but
Gin Blossoms, Hear It From You is one of my all time favourite songs ever. It's on every playlist that I've ever made ever.
It's on all of Ant's playlists, like if any category that's in there. But you know what it always makes us think of every time it comes on? Fucking plaid shirts.
Yeah, well, yeah. Again, that's a very 90s thing, though, isn't it? Like, you've got your 90s legends wearing plaid shirts, you know, Kurt Cobain, Eddie Vedder. It was a very, very 90s thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this was set? Anything about the three that are currently in my wardrobe?
Oh, I've got fucking hundreds. Where do you think this was set?
Oh,
Illinois, wasn't it?
Somewhere like that.
Illinois, yeah.
Oh, was it? I didn't know if it had like an actual place. I never really paid much attention to that part.
It was close to Atlantic City, so it must have been like a
Atlantic City is.
We'll take you one day, Sammy, and you can do
it,
Lucas.
I don't know the America.
You can just hit it. We'll do the Blues Brothers Drive, and you can do the the Lucas losing streak.
And that is exactly what will happen if you take me anywhere near gambling. I am the unluckiest Sarge Gorn.
That's fine.
But if we can go back to favourite moments before we get into the songs, because one of my favourite moments is a Mark moment, and it is a very simple moment. And it's when Mark talks to the camera and says, we cannot be sad.
Yeah.
No, not today. And he comes whizzing down the stairs. I love that scene so much.
Yes. And that leads into another great song.
The moments of songs come hand in hand in this movie.
I'm surprised we didn't start the episode with Mama, 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 Mama.
You're now trying to sing your baby to sleep.
This
podcast is with your baby to sleep.
Start screaming, go water.
When Gina turns the music off as well, where she's just going, when she can hear her saying Vito, but it's just ouch, ouch, and then she gets to the actual thing.
That's one of my favourite moments. There's so many to pick from, but one of my favourite moments is when they've got, I want money playing and she's saying over the thing. Not just any money, Joe's money.
Lots of money.
Lots of money.
How amazing is Renée Zellweger in this movie?
She's fab.
She's, like, say, let's be honest here, she very rarely makes a bad movie.
I disagree with those. Have you seen most of the Bridget Jones movies?
I've got fan base. I'm not going to start dissing that. I'm not having the Bridget Jones fans coming after me after this podcast.
I
love a bit of Bridget Jones. The books were much better than the films. But I'm sorry, the second and the third film, there was no need for it.
But she played a really good Judy Garland.
She did.
Fussy baby, don't go to sleep. I have a lot of time for her, and it probably does stem because of my love of her in this movie. I think she's got a fucking fantastic voice. I wish she used that voice in Chicago, though.
I loved her in Chicago.
I think she just needed like that. The way she talks in this is the way she sings. Mm-hmm. And I actually really like that about her, but that again, it's a voice of the 90s.
Yeah.
That's a singing voice of a 90s female singer. I'm just talking myself out of it now.
Yeah. She 100% makes that song at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Listen to the Coyote Shivers version, it's a good song, but she elevates that song to a whole different level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It definitely needs the female voice in there, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, it just added a little bit more, and again, closing the movie down as well, I thought it was a nice finish, and like everyone kind of got the happy endings in a way. And that's probably the only unrealistic thing in this movie, when everyone start getting like the happy endings, like AJ got the girl, Joe got the music store, and seems to have got Rex Manning's manager as well.
Eyes.
I think Debbie Mazar's eyes are always like that, though.
Yeah.
She beautiful eyes. She
very
always
cat-like.
Plays.
She always looks like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
She's
like very cat.
She's in Goodfellas. She's in Batman.
She's in Goodfellas. Yes.
She's in Goodfellas. She's kind of like a bit character, isn't she? She always like kind of is there somewhere in the background.
She's one of those characters that you always notice, but you never remember her name.
Yeah.
She was amazing as Spice in the Batman movies. I can't remember which one was Two-Face in again.
That was a Jim Carrey one. It was a shit one.
That's
forever.
The one that I am
is it Batman Forever?
Batman Forever, no. Yes.
Where Drew Barrymore
played Sugar.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am trying my hardest to get that one reviewed. We've covered all the rest of them.
Well, there's been just a theme. Saying. Just saying, we've not reviewed. I don't think we've reviewed a Jim Carrey movie. Just saying, that might be out of device because I can't stand the man.
I'm with you. I'm not a fan of Jim Carrey unless he's actually seriously acting rather than comedy acting.
Mm.
So, you know, Spotless, what you call it?
Spotless Mind.
Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine. He's great in that.
Mm. Well, yeah, I really like number 27 as well, even though...
23.
Number 23.
Sorry, Sammy's dyslexic with numbers as well. That's fine. Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Paul. Good
I'm
save.
I'm just surprised it's a film she's seen, if I'm honest.
Oh, she's getting better. We're getting better. We've actually found we've found someone that's seen less movies than Sammy as well.
Oh, no. Little tiny
Chris in the Discord. We have to talk to him like this because he's little and tiny. He's seen fuck all. He hasn't even seen the Terminator movies and he refuses to watch them because it's annoying Lee and it's hilarious.
You've been watching Taskmaster, Paul?
Yes. Little Alex Horn. Little Chris. I'm Alec Greg Davies and he's Alex Horn. That'll be amazing.
Little Chris, I'm going to stick up for you because you join Monsters every Monday and you always say you're going to watch the films we watch. I bet you don't, but that's all right. Yeah. You're still there.
I think Chris is actually taller than me.
Damn the man.
I find that very hard to believe.
Sorry,
I find that very hard to believe.
We'll trick him on Monday as well. We'll take a few inches off him. Not too well, I'll take them few inches, Chris, but still.
Guys.
But yes.
Empire Records.
Who, after watching this, really did want to work in a record store? Like, did they generally think that was what work and life was going to be like?
No, I didn't actually.
I applied to HMV so many times. After I applied to Our Price, I applied to Music Zone, everything.
Right.
I just of the opinion that they didn't know what they were missing.
No.
Say the one I wanted to work in was Blockbuster.
I could see you working on Blockbuster.
You don't want to rent this movie. You don't want to watch this one. You want to watch The Goonies. You have to take The Goonies home. Everyone watches The Goonies.
Everybody gets The Goonies.
There are more films than The Goonies.
It'd be like, so it's in the 90s, so there'd be someone hanging flyers outside going, stay away from this man. He'll just give you The Goonies.
Goonies, motherfucker.
Goonies gonna say, fucking die.
Oh, that's a sketch we're gonna have to do now. Like I said, just me standing go out into pubs and trying to sell people copies of The Goonies.
But then you've got some like counter protest on the other side going, stay away, stay away.
It's somebody else trying to sell like Back to the Future, that'll be me.
Stand By Me is a better coming of age movie. No! But yes. We're not talking about the motherfucking in this one, in the Back to the Future now.
But, yeah. I tell you what though, Sammy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the events in the movie were based on real life events as well.
Oh, Tower Records, isn't it?
Yeah,
based on Tower Records.
The script writer, what was her name? Carol Heikkinen then? They were based on her experience working at Tower Records.
All right. I did not know that. Interesting.
It can be real life.
Right. I think working in a record store in America than working in a record store in the UK is going to be a completely different experience.
Yeah. See, this is it. This is America selling me dreams I can't fucking have. Yeah. It's the whole Saved by the Bell shit all over again, man. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of it.
It's always interesting because you get this movie and then you get High Fidelity is another one where they're working a record store where for High Fidelity is, interestingly, a British author's book, but it's been adapted for an American audience.
It's very good.
It's basically... Well, what we started the podcast at the start, it's basically just like a top five movie. It's basically him telling them his top five records or top five moments, top five relationships. It's like, to be honest, when we started the podcast, you should have watched that movie.
Possibly. I mean, I did cut the top five thing was something I came up with but I'd never actually seen it.
Yeah.
I've still not seen it, by the way.
I'll get a review out of that one soon because I do like it.
If the starting point of the podcast was based around that movie, I really should fucking watch it. Ant loves it, so
it hasn't aged well with, let's see how they treat the women in the movie. But again, that's just of the time.
But I can always, I can always put myself in a place where we're in that time, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Progression has happened. I can understand that.
And it was the film that we learnt that Jack Black can sing.
Mm. Oh, hey, man, anything with Jack Black. I just fucking love that man. If he can make me love a Britney Spears song, Jesus Christ.
Stop being toxic.
Why isn't Jack Black in Empire Records?
Stop being toxic, Sammy.
No, he sang a really good Britney Spears song. No one
I know, I'm taking the piss because it's a Britney Spears song.
Oh, I don't know that.
What?
Oh, that was an over the head moment. It's like
totally wasted on Sam.
It's like Sammy is Drax now. It's like no, it will not go over my head. I will catch it.
I will get it. I ain't no Drax.
So So why do you think this movie didn't do as well as it did? As you said, it flopped big style at the cinema. Why do you think that is? Was it the marketing campaign? Because let's be honest,
I don't know.
There wasn't very many posters. Like it's the same poster when you look at because I know when I do the podcast, I do like a little bit of a graphic with loads of images and stuff as well. And finding high res, decent looking images for this movie was fucking hard. Like there was nothing like kind of like iconic or like photograph worthy. Like, I think the dialogue stands out more.
Quite low budget, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
But I think in the '90s it was probably competing with a lot of. Mm-hmm. You know,
what year was it? 95. Let's have a look. What else did we have in 95? So in 1995, we had... Oh, good God, that's the absolute shittest. Could have come up with a better pick than that. Congo.
Okay. Terrible film.
You had Billy Madison, Ace Ventura, Bad Boys, Get Shorty, Major Payne. A fucking great film. Yeah, the 95, or Braveheart, there you go, Braveheart. Right. Yeah, you've got, the Jumanji.
So you're competing with a lot of big hitters, aren't you? To be fair, I mean, there's a lot of films like that in the 90s that didn't make it when it came out, but then just became like really, you know, cult favourites, you know, like The Crow and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? That wasn't particularly massive when it came out, but it became a cult favourite.
No, definitely. I think Army of Darkness as well was around about the same time. Right. I know, like, I've just been seeing the budget for this movie as well. 10 million. You know how much it took on the US box office? $300,000.
So, it's making a massive loss.
Yes. So you can understand why there wasn't much marketing or it wasn't a big campaign. But it probably...
That's sad.
Yeah.
But do you know what? It's not at the same time because I love the fact it exists in the first place, but that it's ours. It feels like it's ours.
Yeah.
And that it isn't a mass, like this huge mass production that everyone else owns or has. It belongs to me and me alone. And I love that feeling about this movie.
I've thought of something else that might have gone to like the teenage market as well at the time, The Craft.
Right.
Absolutely.
The Craft, because Robin Tooney shaved her head for this, but then had to wear a wig in the Craft.
That fucking awful lace front in that movie is absolutely horrific.
Don't get Sammy started on the lace front. I'm sick of it scanning on about the lace front.
Never watch The Craft on a fucking 4K HD television, because Jesus Christ, do you see the lining of that lace front? It's an awful wig.
And how scary! And how scary is The Craft hasn't even come up in any conversation for us to do a talk.
Really?
No,
it really hasn't, and I don't know why.
Because
that needs to be fixed.
Yeah,
settle January now.
We've
got like a full list of films till January now. They've got December.
The Craft was an iconic film for me, Sam, Claire, and Nikki. We were like the four witches.
I'm not having all them four hags on there at the same time. Not a chance. I can't put up with them four bitches. Sorry.
Hey, maybe like my oldest and bestest friends.
I would say this to their face. You know I would.
You would. Yeah.
True. And then I would see Nikki take the side of it off.
100%. Claire would just laugh because she's too nice.
Claire wouldn't even know what day it is. It's like, have I popped out another baby yet?
She's too nice.
She's too sweet. Leave her be.
Bless her. She doesn't watch us. I can slag her off if I want.
No, she doesn't. Because she's
too busy having a a family and, yeah, and shit.
Out of the four of us, she grew up. We just stayed where we were. I like that, though.
Oh.
I'm happy with that. I get to do podcasts because of that.
Bless you.
Yeah. I'm eternally at college, Ryan.
Do you think this movie would work in any decade that it was out, though? Like, if you put in any like things, I think, yeah, it would work in the 80s quite well. I don't think
it would be quite well.
Yeah, and you'd obviously have to change the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I think because the soundtrack, the soundtrack makes the film, it heavily makes the film. Mm-hmm. So I think to put it in a different decade would depend on what songs you're using in the soundtrack.
I think, again, just me being like devil's advocate here as well, I think this movie would have worked so much better if it came out 10 years later with the decline of record stores and becoming, mm-hmm, when like the physical media start becoming digital. And as we see now, when we look around like the town centres or go shopping, there's very few actual stores that sell. I know there's a big thing for vinyl coming back, but that's more eclectic, more for collectors. But you would have more of an elitist attitude towards it, which I think would be quite entertaining to watch, because people who work in them type of stores always think, as you said, that like if you go back to the high fidelity fears where they've got like a high opinion of themselves, they're better than the customers that's in the store type thing. But I think it would work well, in that time period, just focusing on saying the decline of retail sales and then the man coming in to get rid of the store to make it something different or make it like a car park or something like that. That's what seems to be a thing. I think that would be an interesting take.
Or a house. If you're in the UK, they just want to turn everything into houses.
I mean, technically, you could make it about any store in the whole of Sunderland.
Yeah.
Sunderland Town Centre.
That is true. I do miss the days of going to HMV and like making a beeline for the metal section and be stood in there for like I don't know how long until I found anything. Mm-hmm. I was such a sucker for anything. I remember getting into an argument with someone who I actually ended up working with years down the line, and we became really good friends. But he mocked me over my choice of CDs because I bought the used. And if he's listening, knows exactly who he is.
Who is it?
I'll tell you later.
I'd name people. Sammy's like,
I'm not naming and shaming this person.
Is it somebody I know?
You might do. We did. If I worked with him, you worked with him at some point. So
did Sammy sleep with him? Let's ask that question.
Because he's a very happily married man, and I'm very happily married too. And his wife is a really good friend of mine too.
I love it when Sammy gets flustered.
No, she gets all defensive.
Yes, I really do. It's my go-to defense.
Can I just address something in chat?
Right.
Because of the age the four of us are, I want to point out to Chris and Beth that the 80s were not 50 years ago.
No, 40.
Excuse me.
I was born in the early 80s and I am not 50.
Same. I was born in 83.
Oh, Chris is going to get bred all out.
What the fuck is the matter with you?
Chris is just laughing at these causing chaos now. He's just... sorry, audio listeners who've not seen this chat.
Yeah,
just know
we have to keep remembering that we have audio listeners too who have no fucking idea what's going on when we're referencing the chat.
But yes.
Yes, for the audio listeners, I have a child on my knee.
Yes.
Fun fact for the audio listeners, I look way better.
Picture Jessica Rabbit as a female. That's the
we'll stick with that. Megan Fox look-alike, just put it that way. When she was good looking, not when she had all the work done.
We will be starting hot take there. We will be starting Emma's Hot OnlyFans soon as well, so please buy your tickets with us soon.
Yeah. I've got to pay for holidays somehow.
But I know it's going to be a difficult one when I ask this question as well, because I know we've got a few of the things. I know Sarah's got a list of stuff to talk about as well. What rating would you give this now? Like now, because we've all watched it quite fresh. And again, take the nostalgia fitness. I know it's hard to take the nostalgia glasses off.
It's... Mm-hmm. I don't think I can get away from the nostalgia. And
no.
You know, for me, it's definitely still a 5 out of 5. I can't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't get away from the
nostalgia. No.
I would have said like 10 out of 5, to be honest, when I was about 15.
We got wrong off Jake for changing the ratio, so just keep it on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I know. But yeah, I would give it a 4.5 now because it is just so 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of cringy in one way, but it's mm-hmm. so much great nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
That I can't really reduce it anymore.
Yeah. I love cringe comedy though. Mm-hmm. So this just is totally up my street that even today I still sit there and go, oh, yes, cringe. I got to give it a 5 out of 5. I would be lying to myself if I give it anything other than that.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Emma?
Same, yeah, 5 out of 5. I can't escape the nostalgia. I would love to be able to put it down and walk away from the nostalgia, but I can't.
There is a handful of things that take me back to moments. Empire Records is one of them. Mm-hmm. And in the same place, fucking 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps is right there with it. Them kind of moments there, they literally come hand in hand with each other. She knows what I'm talking about.
Just to say, though, anyone who doesn't know what we're... Any Americans that's watching us or anything like that, that's not Sam talking about a TV show. That's just a pub order, what she normally gets when she goes to the pub.
Very, very much so. But the musical episode of that, it literally comes...
God, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But these are the stuff that we quoted, and it was mainly from the likes of Empire Records, 2 pints. Yeah. I can
friends.
Uh-huh. So it's always just it's always going to take us back to such a good place.
Yeah. We used to walk around quoting like Friends going, I'm not even sorry.
I'm gonna shock yous now.
Shock me with that deviant behavior.
Fucking Sarah is on fire tonight.
That was good time. See, that was she was the other night when I was playing that scary game, and she used the sound alerts that made us shit your pants.
Get in, Sarah.
Why is that not?
And the thing was, it was only the Peter Griffin. Ta-da!
I've decided to complete that game, you have to play multiplayer. You can't do it one player. So.
I'll do it with you, but I'm not going to lie. If them dolls come running after us, I'm going to fucking shit myself.
I'm going to shock you. We'll come back to the game in a bit. I'm going to say it's a 5 for me, because I'm notoriously harsh for Martin. But the reason being, if I'm going to base it on like past Martins and stuff, there is absolutely nothing I would change in this movie. There was nothing I would leave out. There was nothing I would add to it. It tells a story. It doesn't overcomplicate it. It's got interesting characters. The songs are amazing. It doesn't try and be too clever with the songs as well, because it could have went, here's a Pearl Jam song, here's a Nirvana song and stuff like that. Yeah. Try and be all hip and cliched and stuff like that. It used songs that set the mood, songs that told the story, and it's just a film that makes you smile. And when you want to watch a movie, you don't want things to be overcomplicated at times. Like, fair enough.
Yeah.
If you're having a day where you want to be challenged, watch Inception, watch Shutter Island. This is a movie that you just watch just for enjoyment. And as simple as it is, that's what movies are about.
I absolutely agree. It's something that you can switch your brain off and just watch. It's an easy watch, a no-brainer, and... 9 times out of 10, that's the kind of films I like to watch.
Yeah.
I want to be able to escape and not have to use my brain for once.
Mm-hmm. I just love a movie that can take us back to like some of the best times of my life. Like, I'm not saying like I am peaked and that was it, but I have fond memories of... Well, go on.
What I was going to say, you're saying you haven't peaked. You've got fucking carpal tunnel syndrome in your wrist. Believe it, pet, you've peaked. That ship's long ago.
Yeah, we're all old now.
I haven't worn my brace purposely, so no one can see how old I am.
Go on. Go on, show your strong, hand.
I'm having a moment here and he's fucking bringing that shit up.
Oh, God. Coming in, our wangers cramped.
Well, you're gonna lower the tone. Why are you here again?
Because you invited me.
To be fair, though,
I feel like it's going to be the last time she does.
Sammy keeps saying, "Emma, come on, she'll show off her massive chebs," but then she never does. It's always disappointing. But yeah,
never.
I don't want to step into, like, you know, make it pornography. I don't want to get you shut down.
It's fine. Might get a few extra views. Just saying.
That'll be one way to increase the subscribes.
Yes. Please like and subscribe. Emma's, two thumbs up from Emma's boobs.
They might get a bit disappointed though if they start subscribing, and then the next time they try and tune in, it's like trekking up north.
Or Lee.
They're never disappointed with the frosted tip Goodwill. The beautiful man that is our captain. But yes, just laughing my head off now. Where do we go with this? Where do we go from here?
We've gone wrong.
This podcast has just gone all over the place, but I love the chaotic energy of it because it is just Empire Records all over.
Yes.
It really is.
Could you imagine the main members of Nerdy Up North working in a record store?
No.
Go on, Sarah. You can now designate our roles in this record store. So who's going to be the head guy? Who's going to be the Joe? Who's going to own and run the record store?
Now, do I go with something just completely out there, or do I actually do what I think?
Go on, Sarah.
You know what? I think Sammy would make a good store manager.
I think she would.
Cool.
Sammy would keep us on track. She'd keep us on track.
Sammy's the man. So what role are you giving Goodwill? Is he the sales assistant at the front of the door to bring customers in?
Well, yeah. You know, you've got get the captain out front. Who can resist him?
Who can resist the captain?
Yeah, who can resist the captain?
Chris Goodwill is Rex Manning. No.
Rex Manning is Graham. Let's be honest. No. We would have the Velvet Snatch signing autographs to bring people in.
I would certainly be putting Goodwill as Mark, just for the sheer craziness that he can bring. Absolutely.
I think I'd put Lee as Mark.
Lee's got the energy to be Lee's king.
Lee's fucking Warren. That's who Lee is. Lee's just said, "I'm going to blow you all up. Please, can I have a job?"
No, Lee. Chris is what's Warren. His name? Lee is what's his face, man?
Burko.
Lee is Burko.
Oh well, who's going to be Eddie then? Who's going to be my MVP?
Jake.
Jake every time.
That's a good shout, actually. Yeah, Jake could be Eddie.
Yes,
because Jake is such the voice of reason. He's such a sweetheart. So yeah, Jake is steady. I love that.
So who the fuck am I? Am I Lucas? Am I causing the chaos? Am I the man with the plan? I'm the man with the plan.
Yeah.
Just watch everything happen.
So it's so funny that when Michael's name gets called, he comes in the chat and he hasn't got a fucking clue what's going on.
To be fair, though, Michael has a very eclectic taste in movies. I don't think he's ever seen Empire Records, so we could be just telling them to Michael. But I think, I wish I was the man with the plan. As most time, I just go with the flow and just see what happens. Fuck you, Facebook. Just saying. not bitter at all. I'm trying to think who would be the Liv Tyler. Trying not to upset
anyone. Which member is currently on speed?
When it comes down to the female characters, I don't particularly want to fucking upset anyone.
We're basically choosing who is the slut and who's on drugs.
I'm
going to start upsetting people. Let's hear Adam's the slut. Adam's the one that everyone sleeps with or tries to mount.
I'm glad you went with Adam, never mind.
And we'll go with... I'm sorry, Kelly, but Kelly is probably the speed freak.
Wow.
Just saying. I tried to keep up with Kelly mid conversation. Just saying. But yes. So yeah. Any notes or anything that we haven't talked about though, Sarah? Because I know you've made your notes.
I think we've covered most of what I've got on here, to be honest.
It's one of those films you can talk about a lot, but you can't really drill down too much to...
Unless you go from like start to finish of the movie, yeah. And it's like, yeah. it just gets a bit...
If you're going
to
do that, go and fucking watch the movie, but yes.
Yeah, that's true, go and watch it. Did anyone else have trouble finding it, by the way?
No, sorry, it's dodgy.
I've got a DVD.
I really don't, and I had to find it on a channel, this free service thing, I don't even know what it's called, and it had 50 billion adverts in it, to the point where I was like, this is not a long film, why is it taking nearly 3 hours to watch it?
I watched it on the dodgy stick in 4K, which I don't even think it is out in 4K, but there was a 4K copy.
I couldn't find any links whatsoever, and believe you me, I fucking looked.
Yeah.
And I could not find any links. I ended up having to watch this free fucking thing.
I'm going to say it's something that's going to totally blow your mind. You're probably not. I'll have to probably set it up for you. VPN, Sam. It will change your life.
Yeah. When are you coming to mine next?
Oh, there's an invite.
Do you know how easy it is to set up a VPN? Just search for VPN.
Do you know who you're talking to?
Yes.
If my mum can do it in China, you can do it.
Your mum's a cleverer lady than I am.
I'm a 60s man.
I think this movie gets to a point though where you would just end up quoting it at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such a quotable movie.
It's as I said, it's an emotional roller coaster. It's everything that you want from, like, as you said, a feel good movie. It ticks all the right boxes at the right times. And it's got a banging soundtrack. What more can you want?
Yeah, it does. It does deal with absolutely everything. And the soundtrack has got a little something for absolutely all tastes.
Mm-hmm. And it just falls. Everything. That soundtrack is so perfectly placed. Everything falls at the right moment.
Yeah. And if you're a pervert like Lee, it's got Liv Tyler in bra and niggas. So there. Just saying.
And Renée Zellweger in a very, very short skirt.
And you see her bum quite a lot when she's in the apron as well, so that's quite nice.
You do? Yeah. I forgot about the apron. Yeah.
She has no ass.
I saw an ass, I liked it.
Oh, well. And Robert Shuney's not so bad in this film, because we've not mentioned Deb once.
Oh, she is beautiful. But
she is beautiful.
And she does the best Sinead O'Connor impression to date. It's fine.
Well, Sinead O'Rebellion.
The only thing I was going to mention, was she being nice or being a complete arsehole when she was giving out the badges?
She's being honest.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's Deb's problem. Mm-hmm. She's honest.
Right. Because
sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah. And in the 90s, not many people could handle honesty, but yeah.
Yeah.
So the film is called Empire Records. Lee's adding it to his list.
That was it. I mean, especially with that scene where she's kind of like hiding in the listening booth and Joe comes to find her and she's kind of like just so brutally honest with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the end of it, when she turns around and he goes, "You're doing a good job, Deb."
Yeah.
And he walks away and she goes, "Well, I feel better." And I don't know if she's being sarcastic or she generally does feel better. Because she did look a little bit taken aback by the fact that she was getting told she was doing a good job.
Yeah, it was very Daria, shall we say. Like, if anyone's watching like an old 90s cartoon, Daria is very much the feel of this movie.
I used to get called Daria. Surprise, surprise.
It's because you're a hot nerd. Deal with it. It's fine.
It's because I wear glasses. Because way back in the 90s, anybody who wore glasses was then compared to any kind of star that wore glasses or even cartoons. So Daria, what else did I get? I used to get, remember that song? Is it Lisa Loeb? Can't remember the song she did. But she was...
My question is, was it Foo Fighters or was it AC/DC? That's my repertoire. Sorry. You're saying Lisa Loeb.
you got called cool names, because when I wore glasses as a kid and I used to get called fucking Four Eyes all the time.
Oh, the best one.
I missed you.
Yes, that was the song.
To be fair, though, this is like the first podcast where all of us are wearing glasses. This is the four-eyed podcast.
Glasses are cool now, man.
I used to get what you can't fucking see, and it's like, no, can I? That's why I'm wearing fucking glasses, you dipshit.
Yeah,
now I have to wear fucking. Now I'm fucking 40-year-old and have to wear varifocals, so no, I can't. Yeah.
Oh, have you got varifocals?
Yeah.
Fucking horrible. Carpet tunnel, varifocals, and a bad back.
Jesus, when did you turn 90?
Sammy.
What happened when I turned the day before I turned 40? I think I messaged him and I was like, I think my hips gone.
Jesus Christ, Sam.
Oh.
Sammy, I'll make you feel a little bit better. I actually do need very photos. I just refuse to get them.
I have them, Sarah.
I take my glasses off to read what's on my screen. I'm only putting my glasses on for the podcast because I think I look better with them on.
What's the
Have you ever tried to read with varifocals? They're fucking horrible.
I wonder what the demographic of people who try and listen to this podcast is. What Adrian are you aiming for?
It's like, scaring away all the youngers.
It's good. Coming back for the 60-year-olds to make them feel younger. To reference one of the Gaming Up North podcasts, like if we were on the Grand Theft Auto soundtrack or thing, it'd be like, now on the old channel, we've got Nerdy Up North.
I don't want to take my glasses off because my makeup's like halfway down my face now.
You're doing your 90s impression. You've just been Eric Draven for a bit as well. That's right.
We've learned a lot today, haven't we, kids?
A reminder of the fun the 80s were nearly 50 years ago. Fuck you, Chris.
But remember, my cool hip Monster podcast is out tomorrow.
Shit, I'll have to upload that. Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah. So, my cool hip monster podcast where we talk all about George Romero is out tomorrow. It's because we realized we actually want to do these movies as part of the podcast. We were like, so we can't go into great detail. So this is just a little intro into the life of George A. Romero, where we try our hardest to stay away from some of the greatest horror movies ever made with great difficulty.
We haven't even done a Shaun of the Dead episode yet. We have. It just got away. We've done the Cornetto trilogy. Technically, you can't see it, but if you subscribe to our membership, you can see it in the membership section.
look at him.
Look at the plugs now. Yes, we do. I think there's about 30 episodes that are not on the new on the YouTube channel that you can see.
The
Nudie Up channel. The Nudie Up North YouTube channel. But if you do subscribe, you can see them in retrospect. But let's be honest, some of them are alright.
I know. There's a reason they're in there.
Oosh. Sammy doesn't normally get bitchy. That's fine.
No, I don't. But I've had enough. I've been called old.
I'm not sure how to take this. I don't like it when she defends herself.
Oh, it's because she's not about with Dan now. She's like getting all angry.
I think I'm hard as fuck because I'm not going about with Dan.
I get a hard southern mate and that stuff. It's fine. I'm scared of mentioning him now. It's like, shit, Dan's going to fucking kill us. I'm going to see her in a few weeks. She'll bruise all over. But So Monsters are tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
We do have like a few twitching through the week. We've got Goodwill probably be doing something really weird and with one of his personalities.
It's not Goodwill. It'll be one of his cousins that will be joining us. Truckwill probably. Truckwill probably will be joining us.
Or might be Wheels Will. Whichever one of his personality. Or
I mean, I'll find out. And the schedule goes up every Tuesday for what is happening within the Twitch and podcasting world. So you'll be kept well informed.
Cool. Just to say, to go back as well, like last week we did have a few good episodes, not more than a few. The Gigs Up North came out with a great episode with Babes from the Crypt. That was such a nice, informative episode. That's on the YouTube channel. Also, we had the Ramblecast review of the news. Jake, give you the motherfucking news, bitches.
He really fucking did. Such a brilliant episode of him and Adam. Loved it.
And an amazing episode of Trekking Up North where, like I said, they had a Mark on where they reviewed Search for Spock. Again, so much fun. I enjoyed that episode. I watched it live. Again, can't hype Trekking Up as much. Like I say, it is one of the best things that's on podcast. Their episode goes out on one of the best. There's other best ones as well. How many times have I said that Monsters is my favorite, Sammy? So put your face away.
It's just nice to hear you sometimes, you know. It's just nice to be reminded. Just because Dan's not here.
Domestic later, guys. Yeah, come on.
Mummy and Daddy's kicking off. Don't worry. They're back next Friday where they're reviewing an episode of Deep Space Nine. So Graham will be very happy. I think Lee will be twitching on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, Thursday.
And gaming will be doing something on Wednesday. So again, if you're anywhere at Nerdfest tomorrow, come and see us. We will all have stickers. So if you
doesn't mean you're getting some, but we'll have some.
if you're extra nice to us, we have got a lot of shiny ones as well. So you might, if you're one of the lucky few, you will get a shiny sticker of either Monsters, Gigs, Nerdy, Trekking, Gaming. We have a lot of stickers to give away tomorrow. Please get yourself down to Nerdfest. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see a few people tomorrow and beat the shit out of Chris. We will be back on Sunday. Well, we won't be... I'll come into that. God, she's already plugged Monsters about 15 times. It's all right. Next Sunday, we aren't live. Spoiler. We are recording the episode...
Probably
going to get
away with it, but...
we are recording the episode, but we are talking about the amazing Batman movie that is Batman Returns, the best Batman movie. And spoilers, I'm not going to be on it. No.
Oh, I know. And the best part about it is he's not going to be in the background either, so I'm not going to get super nervous.
So, yes.
He's not... going to go rogue.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to go mental. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do. His head's going to explode.
The ones where I've been on before, I've been in the background saying, serious, ask this question.
Do you know what it is? There's one episode in particular I can think of, which I don't particularly want to mention who was on it, but I could just feel him in the back. I could feel him in the background, and I was like, I know what he's saying. I know what he's not saying now. And I was like, I know what he's saying, and I was like, I need to do something. I was so nervous.
That's fine.
Not that I have never done this before or anything.
It's all right. Everyone knows I'm Sammy's safety blanket. It's fine. I make her feel safe. but yeah, so, and as Sammy will point out as well, the amazing, the wonderful, the best horror podcast that is on the internet is out tomorrow. Join Sammy and Dan for Monsters Up North for all your best horror gossip and knowledge. Please listen to it, or Sammy does beat us. She was, but yes, was that all right? Was that up to the level that you wanted? Really, that's fine.
That is exactly what I was looking for.
All right. Anything else, guys? Anything you guys want to plug?
I'm all good. And just to say that the audio for this episode and all other episodes will be out on Tuesday, and a schedule is up every Tuesday, so you know what's going on within Twitch and YouTube world for that week. Just get it out there. Remember, like, share, subscribe. Thanks.
Yes, and follow us on whichever platform you like. But please, but please leave us a comment. Like, our YouTube channel gets kind of views, but no one fucking comments on it. Say something nice, or even say something horrible. I'll tell you what, and that's weird. Graham's Tash gets more comments about than our episodes.
Yeah, that's true. If you can, we also obviously leave us comments on the YouTube channel, but if you can, give us some notification if you are listening on audio to let us know that you're there. It would be really nice to know who's listening to us. Liking the podcast or rating it or reviewing it kind of gets the algorithm moving and gets other people to find us who only just listen to audio. So that would be a massive, massive help if you could.
Yes. So guys, thank you for everyone who's been with us in the chat. Thank you, Emma, for joining us. Thank you for putting up with me shit. I know, like, see, I get away with a lot with you because I love you to bits. Might not say that, but I absolutely love her. Like, I honestly, you are amazing. Sarah, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and join us little Baba as well, making the youngest debut of the littlest and youngest member of the Nerdy Up North squad now.
Now
had more appearances than Chris, and probably is bigger than Chris as well. So yes, so same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Bye.
Bye.